Morning. Good to have everyone here this morning. It's a great time to be part of the Lord's church here today, and great time to worship and remember our Lord around the table and to have you join us. If you are visiting, we want to welcome you and glad that you're here with us. And if you're coming back to visit us again, good to see you as well. And a lot of things going on. Life groups are up and running, and so life groups are meeting this evening. And if you're in a group, connect with your leaders. And if you're not, we'd love to have you join one of our several groups, a group that's here, and also some groups that are meeting in homes this evening around the area. Also, Trunk or Treat is coming, and if you could provide a car with a decorated trunk or for that, please let Deanne know. We have several cars already, but looking for a few more. And also, you can start donating candy in that back bucket, that wagon back there. Don't be tempted. That's not for you. Linda gives out her own candy every day, every Sunday, not out of the wagon. That's for our Trunk or Treat. Great to have that ministry to provide a safe place for children in our area to come. And I don't know a safer, best place to get candy from than loving people like you. And maybe a few scares here and there, but still loving people. This coming weekend, Saturday, is a ladies' breakfast, 8 a.m. Leah is providing breakfast casserole, but please bring a side to share for a time of devotional and fellowship this Saturday morning at 8 a.m. And then if you have enough energy left over from that good breakfast, that evening is our church bunko at 5:30. The Lindas are signing folks up. That's a great time of fellowship as the prayer was led of just us being together and growing together in fellowship and even having some fun together, sharing our love one for another. And the last announcement to be attuned to, next Sunday is a newcomer's lunch hosted by your elders. And if you are a newcomer or feel like you're a newcomer the last few years, you're welcome and come and stay for that time to connect with the elders and them to kind of share with you. You don't have to bring anything but just yourself and your family, and we'll share in that time of fellowship and want to make sure our newcomers are welcome and glad to have each one of our members here in our fellowship. Well, we've been journeying through some of the kingdom parables of Jesus, times where Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like. Another way you could imagine him saying this is him inviting his listeners to say, imagine a world like this. And as these messages of Jesus had impact and meaning for his early disciples, they also continue to bless us with how we are to live as God's kingdom people in at times a very evil world. How are we to live differently? How are we to live amongst this world? And what is our purpose and what is our place? And today's parable comes from Matthew chapter 22, if you want to be turning there in your Bible, Matthew 22, 1 through 14. This is also a parable that Luke records in his gospel. Luke records a little bit early in his gospel telling of Jesus for his purposes, but here Matthew is putting it towards the end of his gospel here as Jesus is preparing for his departure and preparing for his eternal plan of death, burial, and resurrection, and of his continual plan of including his followers in his kingdom. So we'll be reading this morning from Matthew chapter 22, 1 through 14. Jesus says to them again in a parable saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted calf have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his own field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants and mistreated them and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite the banquet anyone you find.' So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guest, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. "Friend," he asked, "how did you get in here without wedding clothes?" And the man was speechless. Then the king told his attendants, "Tie him hand and foot, throw him outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen." An interesting parable of Jesus, an interesting story that Jesus tells of saying, imagine a kingdom like this. Now, many scholars have wrestled over what is this talking about and what is the meaning of this. Some say the most challenging. Now, I didn't present this to say I have the best answers to explain what's going on here. But some have allegorized this representation as the salvation history. You know, one interpretation says that this is the end time banquet that's going to happen when the Lord is inviting all to be a part of His kingdom. And that the first servants that came were the early and late prophets, the early prophets of Moses and David, and the late prophets of Jeremiah and Ezekiel and on down to the minor prophets, that those were the first servants that were sent saying, you know, the kingdom of heaven is here, come and be a part of me. But then the prophets were all killed for their message. And even Jesus was killed. And that the destruction that the parable talks about, the king getting upset about his servants being put to death and going out and burning down their cities, is the destruction of Jerusalem. Because they didn't accept the invitation, that they fell. You know, as we talked in our class this morning, we're going through 1 Peter, as Jesus is the cornerstone, the precious cornerstone that will never be overcome, but also He's the stumbling block of which people will fall. And that the destruction was the destruction of Jerusalem, and that the mission that He says, go out and invite all, anybody who can come, go to the street corners, that this is the mission of the church. And if that is the image, He puts this image in the context of inviting to a wedding feast. Now let's look at the story of Jesus tells. He says, imagine a kingdom. Imagine a world that is like a kingdom who prepares a wedding banquet for His Son. A time of celebration. I mean, the king is saying, this is my Son. This is one of the greatest days of His life. And I want to celebrate this, because what's happening here at this wedding is a cosmic event. This event of a wedding feast, that this is a man and a woman coming together in love, in unity before God for all eternity. And I want everyone to celebrate that. I want everyone to be a part of that kind of party. I mean, have you had a wedding party like that? Remember your wedding, how great of an event that was, of coming together? Or you've been invited to other people's wedding and you see this celebration of this man and this woman coming together. You know, the king is so excited about this eternal covenant, this witness before God of these two people coming together, to come to live a life of sacrifice and of service, of love one for another. A love that's going to show the world what type of love Christ has for the world by how they live. The king is so excited that the wedding banquet is ready. And he sends out the invitations. And he sends his servants to go call those ones in that have been invited. The time has come. The day has come. But they don't come. They don't respond to the invitation. You ever been invited to something and you denied the invitation? Someone says, hey, come to my party, or come out with me, or let's go and do this. And you deny that invitation. Now, why do people deny invitations? Why do you deny not go to certain things that you're invited to? And I think that there's two main things that we determine whether or not we want to go attend an invitation, respond to an invitation or not. One, we respond to the person inviting us. You know, it's like, do I want to go and be with this person? Do I want to be where they are, regardless of what they're doing, but do I want to be with them? Do I want to spend time with them? Do I want to share life with them? Is this relationship valuable enough to me that I'm going to give up other things that I'm doing to spend time with them? So we respond to them, and we may not care for the event that's happening. Like, well, that's not my cup of tea, or that's not my favorite restaurant, or I really don't like birthday parties, or I don't really like these things, but I like you. I want to spend time with you. So we respond by whether or not we want to spend time with that person. We also respond, on the other hand, to the actual events. And sometimes the events might win us over. Say, man, I love weddings, and I love wedding cake, and sure, I'll go to anybody's wedding at any time, whether who's getting married or not. Maybe some of you are like that. You see a wedding, but see the wedding's going on, you say, I want to pull into there. You know? I like this event. I like the seeing the fact of two people coming together. I love that moment. You know? I love the wedding march. I love seeing what happens when someone makes a mistake. You know, if someone falls over, or the flower girl goes screaming off. Or I love that. You know, I love the event. I want to participate in that experience. I like eating where you're inviting me. I like to do the thing that you're asking me to do. And you might care less about the person. I mean, if someone said, hey, you want to go eat here? I'm like, yeah, I don't really know you, but I like where you're going. And so you respond by whether we like the person or we like the event. But in this parable, this greatest event's happening in this king's life. The celebration of his son's marriage. And he invites his friends, and they don't want to come. And so he invites them again. He presents them, say, hey, go tell them what we're going to have here. We're going to have a barbecue. We're going to have a fatted calf. And we're going to have the best meal here. He says, my oxen and fatted calf. I mean, there's multiple slices of meat going on here. And so he says, I mean, how many times are you enticed to be a part of an event because of the food? And that's usually one of the biggest parts of the invitation. Someone says, hey, you want to go with me? You're like, I don't know about you. We're going to go do this. I don't know about that. But we're going to have food. I'm in. Right? And especially if it's like good food, like oxen and fatted calf. You know, how many times do we invite people to a meal with food? Because, you know, if you have good food, they'll come. You know, our friends were moving across town, and they were calling a moving party together. And they said, if you come help us move, which I'm kind of like, I've moved a lot of times. That's not really getting me. And I like these people, but I don't really like that event too much, lifting people's stuff and, you know, breaking people's stuff. But they said, we're going to feed you steak dinner afterward. I'm in. So the king says, go say we're going to have a feast. Again, they do not come. They're not interested. This person is not a priority to them. This event is not their thing. They have something better going on. To the point where they even stop the messengers. You ever stop getting hounded to be invited to somewhere? Or to be asked to do something? And so what do? You say, unsubscribe to that message. You call those, quit sending me your mail. Take me off your call list. You get out of that group messaging message, right? I'm not going. Did you not see? I don't want to go. Quit bugging me. You know, and maybe you even cut those people out of your life. Quit bothering me. And they did that to these messengers of this king, inviting someone, these people, to the best event in life. Well, he invites then and says, well, go invite everybody. I mean, this is so great, and I got this fatted calf. I don't care who comes. Because whether you come, whether you like me or like me, you don't like weddings, you don't like weddings, you like this food, you don't like it, whether you have other things to do, this is the best thing in town. This is the best thing happening right now, the wedding of my son. And so go invite everybody. It's so good, it's so great not to celebrate it, and nothing's going to stop this celebration going on. So go invite everybody. You know, earlier, Jesus tells another parable. In Matthew chapter 21, he says, there was a man who had two sons. And he told his son, go work today in the vineyard. And the son says, I will not. But later on, he changed his mind and he went. To his other son, he said the same thing. And he says to his father, I will go work. But he didn't. Which of the two did his father want? Well, of course, the one who actually obeyed and went. And so Jesus says to him, I tell you the truth. Tax collectors and prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe. And so he says, go out and invite everybody, because my feast is too great. This banquet is the best in the world. But he also expects, though, for all to come, even these people out in the streets, even these people that, whoever they are, that was going to respond to say, hey, wedding, come. Hey, feast, come. And people came. There was an expectation of reverence for what is happening for all who come to that event. You come and honor this person, to come and honor this event, and come and honor this gift that was given. Because it's the weddings are holy events. They are eternal events. They are a time for great celebration and respect. A respect to the host and a respect to the covenant being made. See, in the parable, these people that were invited, they came in and he finds a man not even wearing wedding clothes. This man didn't realize, hey, there's something grand going on here. You know, there was a cost that was made and some plans that were made. You know, this is an event of great honor. You know, this demands your gratitude. This demands your respect and your devotion. You know, so for the king, this was the best feast in the world. The celebration of his son in marriage. You see, the failure of his invitees did not change the greatness of his feast. The failure of his guests to attend did not change the greatness of the feast. The rejection of the invitation did not change the greatness of the feast. And the disrespect of those who come did not change the greatness of the feast. Church, we have come here to celebrate. We have come here to celebrate a wedding. We've come to celebrate the union of Christ with his bride. The great cost that was given for us to come together with Christ. We've come to celebrate. This is the best day of the week. This is the best hour of the week. A time for us to celebrate. Because Jesus is the greatest feast in the world. We celebrate the Son of God. We celebrate resurrection. We celebrate our life with him in the body. So we have come to celebrate. And we have come to feast. We have come to feast on the Lord. This is the best meal in the world. The partaking of bread and of wine, of fruit of the vine. The best meal in the world. We've come here to share in a meal. That's what we've come to do. We've come to share a meal. And we've done that. We've come to share a meal. And it's the best because we're remembering the Lord. We've come, and at this feast, as we've gathered around this table, we've come to connect one with another and to connect with the Lord, with his body and his blood, and we've come to feast on the Lord. We've come to identify with Christ. We've been invited here. We've been welcomed here. He's done all the work to get us here, to provide for us here, to give us a hope and a purpose and a reason, and we connect with Christ. This is the best relationship there is in the world. I mean, this is the best day of the week, this is the best meal in the world, and this is the best relationship we could ever have. And we connect through heart and soul and mind and body and strength. We connect through our feasting of the Lord's Supper. We come through our praise and thanksgiving to God as we've done through song. We connect through our time together in word, in sharing in this word, this moment right now, and sharing in the hearing of the word of God through the scripture. We've come and connecting through our time of prayer to identify ourselves with Christ, that I am a part of you. I am joined a part of this feast and the celebration. You know, this is a reuniting of our own wedding. This is an anniversary we have of celebrating the union we have with Christ. This is the time of renewal. We've come here to be renewed, to renew our covenant of baptism, remembering and again feasting on that. A time of renewing our faith through our confession of word and song. You know, the songs that we sing are to confess and to say again our love for Christ and our faith and our commitment to Him. You know, this is the best opportunity in the world for transformation. You know, this is the best day of the week. This is the best meal in the world. It's the best relationship. And it's the best opportunity for your life to be changed. And it happens through our connecting with God and through Christ Jesus. And it happens as it's been happening amongst ourselves. As you come in and we connect and we share the love of Christ one with another, as we minister one to another, as we come together to minister to and to be ministered by the body. It's the best opportunity for our lives to be transformed. And we've come here to rejoice. To rejoice. Because this is the best purpose in the world. It's the best day of the week, the best meal in the world, the best relationship, the best opportunity, and the best purpose. And when we leave here, we leave being sent with Christ in our lives. We've been sent with thanksgiving of having connected to a person and connected by an event and connected to the body of Christ, assured of what God has done for us, what God will do for us, and God, what God wants us to do. We rejoice with the hope that overcoming whatever may come, that you know what, even if my life is taken, my life has already been taken by the Lord. I've already been united with Christ. We leave rejoicing with a mission. Why am I here? Oh yeah, from what happened here today, to tell others about the best meal in the world. Well, when was the last time you invited others to the feast? When was the last time we invited someone to Jesus? He's the person. He's the event. You know, maybe sometimes saying, would you like to come to church? People don't know what that means or have preconceived ideas of what that means or what that looks like. Maybe from a bad church experience or a bad time they've had that, they don't want that again. But you know what? How about changing what you're inviting them to? You know, we invite people and we come. How about try this? Ask someone if they would like to come and celebrate with you this weekend. Come to worship. Come to feast. Come eat with me. Come commune with the Lord. Come identify with the Lord. Come and be renewed. Or maybe come and be a renewal to somebody else. You ever invite someone to come and like serve with you? Come and be a part of something that's transformative, that changes lives, that come be a part of loving God and loving others. Or how about saying, you want to come and join me in rejoicing, living a life of mission and of purpose? Well, what is it we really believe about church? What do we believe about our church? We believe we have the best meal in the world. You know, there's a lot of places to get hamburgers, a lot of places to get pizza, a lot of places to get Mexican food, a lot of places to get sushi, and a lot of places to get coffee around here. And I love that. But what's the best in town? What's the best place to get a burger? Best place to get coffee? You know, if it is the best, then think about your best place to get a burger, for example. You have that place in mind? Okay? Does it matter what the atmosphere looks like? Is it still the best burger in town? Does it matter what the service is like? Does it matter what the advertising looks like? Does it matter what the word on the street is like? Now, we know at times, sometimes if those things aren't done well, they can hinder us from the best. You go into a place and say, this is the best burger in town. Well, the place looks like a dump. Man, this is the best burger in town, but man, it takes forever to get your food. Man, this is the best place in town, but how do I even find it? There's no sign, no direction. This is the best burger in town. Everyone says it's garbage. But regardless, Jesus is the best meal in the world. He is the feast. He is the host. He is the servant. He is the one and only. He is the greatest. There is no one else. This truth does not change, regardless of how he's being presented. But what does our expression of that truth here say to God and the world about that feast? We believe, we will invite. But what are we inviting folks to? Think of all those who are missing out on this great feast today. You know, we have a great presentation of that feast, I believe. This is a great place for people that love God and love others. Who needs to know that? And why aren't they coming? Why aren't they coming to get the best feast in town? Is what do we believe about those who aren't feasting in the Lord? Because if you don't get, what we believe is that if you don't get Jesus on this earth, you won't get Jesus in heaven. We believe that if you're not feasting on Jesus now, you won't be feasting on Jesus then. And so, there's a sense of urgency. This is the best meal in the world. And if they're not coming to get it, maybe it's time that we start going. Start going out and taking what it is we have in the Lord, our time of celebration, our time of feasting, our time of identifying, our time of renewing, and our time of rejoicing with us. Because many have left the feast. Many are ignoring the invitation. Many aren't feasting. Many aren't living in Christ. Many have tried. Many have forgotten. Maybe I've forgotten how good it is. Maybe many have cut off the messengers and the messages. Many come, but aren't committed. They've shown up. I'm here, but not wearing the right wedding clothes. A good thing there is no dress code. Y'all look pretty good today. But more than just the outside, the inside. See, church is about gathering, and church is about going. Because their feast is so great that if people aren't coming, then we need to start going. There's a food truck in a restaurant in Oklahoma City called Big Truck Tacos. Maybe I've talked about this. I talk about food a lot. It really speaks to me. First time I ever had a Big Truck Taco meal was actually they were catering out a celebration of someone's new property. A church had bought a new property, and they were going to start building on this land site. And so it was my friend's church who was hosting it and had this great Mexican food there. And I thought, where's this food come? It's Big Truck Taco. And I got there kind of late, and it was already kind of cold. And, you know, when hot food is already cold and it's still good, it's really good. I said, where does this come from? He says, Big Truck Taco. He says, I said, where can you get them? He said, well, there's food trucks. I'm like, well, how do you find them? Well, they also, don't worry, they also have a restaurant. This company, if you ever go to Oklahoma City, Big Truck Taco was voted America's favorite food truck in a nationwide contest at one time on Food Network. So they knew they're their best. The local people knew theirs, but now the Food Network world is saying, this is the best place to get tacos. And see, they were so convinced of it, they had a restaurant, a place where you could actually go there, and I like that because you could go find them. But they believed that they were so much, they had the best meal in town that they were willing to get a truck and take it to where people are. And they got to be known so well that they had to expand their kitchen and they had to expand to multiple food trucks. And see, they believed that they were this food was so great that you can come and get it, but we'll also take it to you. One of my friends in Oklahoma and Weatherford, he's a middle school principal and a great man of God, great Christian guy. And this last summer, he bought an ice cream truck. And this is him in his ice cream truck window. He's got, there's a few of his kids and his nieces and nephews there. I think that's when they first got a hold of this ice cream truck. I mean, who would think about that, going to buy an ice cream truck? A middle school principal going to buy an ice cream truck. But the thing was, there was not an ice cream truck in Weatherford, Oklahoma, or in the surrounding 20-mile radius around them. He thought, this is going to be a great idea. And I think he bought it for his kids so that they would have a summer job as they're growing. His oldest son is a seventh grader now. And they all work it. And he named his ice cream truck the OKE. His kids' names are Ethan, Owen, and Catherine. And he switched the letters around. So now it's Oki Ice Cream Truck. And so he has you've probably seen ice cream trucks. You know, you got the ice cream sandwiches, the SpongeBob, the push-up pops, and the nutty ice cream cones, you know. And you can buy these things at 7-Eleven or Safeway. You can go buy. You can go get these types of things. But they love the idea of bringing ice cream and joy so much that they bought this ice cream truck, and they take it to you. They bring it to you. And he's so good on social media. He has all these Facebook friends and has this site, and he says, I'm going to be on this street at this town. Come and find me. I'm going to be here at this time. I'm going to be at this town the next day. And he says, and he requests, if you want me to come to you, I'll come to you. I mean, he delivers his ice cream. He believes in it so much. And he believes it so much that he even shows up where people are gathering. He'll go to where events are happening, like sometimes youth events. You know, and after the youth event, everyone comes outside of the church and they get ice cream. And he's even catered out a wedding. Some college students in our college ministry out there had him come out with his food truck to cater their wedding with his ice cream. We have the greatest feast in the world. Invite, participate in the feast, live the feast, rejoice in the feast. And if they don't come, then take it with you. Take Jesus to go. I thought about giving everybody a to-go bag today. But you have a to-go bag. It's your life. What you participated in here, the greatest day of the week, greatest feast, the greatest opportunity. Hopefully you've had some transformation, things that you realize you need to change and you're going to start changing. And you're leaving here, I'm giving you a mission. You can't just leave it here. You take it with you. There are those who need to know of the greatest feast in the world. Go and gather around tables with other people. Make it your intention that this is going to be the focus of your conversation. You're going to share it by how you listen, by how you care, by how you pray, by how you talk. Gather with people around coffee tables, around dinner tables. Have a to-go bag with you. And if you need to make a little to-go bag today, go do that. And stuff it with some thoughts. I'm going to take this with me. I'm going to take it with me wherever I go. Because I'm going to take the celebration with you. As you've celebrated and rejoiced, take that with you. You bring the party. You bring the celebration. You bring the joy. And people are going to think you're pretty weird. But who cares? It's the greatest. It's the best. Take the feast with you. Take Jesus with you. Say, he's everything. It's the best. You know, and you know, sometimes people say something is the best and you don't believe it. And you're like, well, finally, I'll just try it to shut you up. I think that's how it'll be with Jesus. Once you really taste and see that the Lord is good, he is really good. Take the identity of Christ with you. Take the renewal. Man, my life has been changed. You know, someone says, why should I? Man, He's changed my life so much. And you know why? He's given me a mission, a purpose to rejoice and hope. Well, this morning, why have you come? Did you come celebrate? Did you come and feast and identify? Are there places in your life that need to be renewed, times, something where we need to minister to you? Or maybe you need to minister to us about? What are you leaving here with? What is your mission today? What part of the feast of Jesus are you taking? And who do you need to take the feast to? Maybe we can pray about that. Share about who you'd like to be on mission for. And help you as you're committed. Maybe you say, today I want to be committed to be taking Jesus to go. And really be intentional about that. I'm going to make it my mission, the people I work with, I'm going to sit at, have lunch with, I'm going to have coffee with, I'm going to, when we're on break, I'm going to have conversation, I'm going to bring this feast with me. And I want that courage and that strength to do that. This morning, imagine a world that's like a king having a wedding banquet for his son. Will you come as we stand and sing?